Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your love, for your grace, for your mercy. Lord, I would ask that you would, Lord, that you would speak into us today, Lord, the truth of your word would be made clear, Lord, as we come to a new series today, Lord, as we come to really, really looking at these spiritual disciplines. Lord, I pray that you'd be speaking to us about growing closer, getting to know you more. Lord, we desire to know you deeper, to be in your presence more, to have growth, to have transformation in our lives, to have some things that we struggled with yesterday not be a part of our present and our future. Lord, we desire to go into the deeper things of your word. Lord, when we first come to you, we know that we need to feed on the milk of the word, on the basic truths. And Lord, as we grow in our walk, it's so important that we grow deeper and that we give more and more of our lives over to you, that we die to ourselves, that we take up our cross daily, and we grow in our walk with you. Show us how to do that, Lord. We can't do it in our own strength. We can't do it in ourselves. So Lord, show us how. Through your word, through your presence, be with us today as we seek your truth in this new series, Lord. Bless it. Use it for your glory. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. All right. Psalm 42:7a says, deep calls to deep. That's the title of the message today. Deep calls to deep. And one of the things that we're going to be looking at as we hit this new series of the joy of spiritual disciplines is, do you have a calling within you? Is there a yearning inside of you to grow deeper, to get more connected with God? Do you feel like, you know what? At times I feel connected with him, at times I feel intimate, but maybe it's been a while. Maybe you've been going through the motions for a little bit. Maybe you've been on automatic pilot. Maybe you've been dutiful even and doing what's required, but the intimacy with God is lacking. That personal, intimate relationship. You feel like, man, he's a bit out there more than in here. Are we still struggling with areas of our lives that we struggled with 5 years ago? Do you ever come to God in prayer and you're just thinking to yourself and you're praying to God and you're saying, God, we're here again. I know I've been praying for these things and I know I've repented of these sins time and time and time again, but here we are again. God, I want to get past this asking for forgiveness for the same things over and over. I want to find more victory. I want to find more joy. I want to find more pleasure in my relationship with God. As I want to say this, the answer is not try harder. The answer, that's the big thing that we're going to be going in today. The answer is not try harder. Today we're going to look at kind of an introduction to these spiritual disciplines. And the next 10 weeks, we're going to go on this journey. And we're going to be looking on this journey together about these spiritual disciplines. First of all, what do I mean by spiritual disciplines? They are deliberate, self-imposed habits that nurture spiritual health and encourage spiritual growth, leading to maturity. Spiritual disciplines are not what we're aiming for. Spiritual disciplines are what we will use to die to ourselves so that God, through his Holy Spirit, can work through us to bring the blessing that come from us being intentional through the spiritual disciplines. The spiritual disciplines are the road in which God uses to bring us to more intimacy with him. They are not the end all. Guys, if they become the end all, we lose the joy. If we become religious, we become focused on getting it done. But the spiritual disciplines are there to help usher us onto the right paths to hear from God and to have him do the work in us that we can never do ourselves. Some of the spiritual disciplines that we're going to be looking at over the next 10 weeks, meditation, prayer, and fasting, these are all inward disciplines. As about, about 20 years ago was the first time I read through Foster's A Celebrating Spiritual Discipline. And it really challenged me. It really challenged me to think differently. And since then, I've gone through the book over and over. I've gone to other books by others dealing with these spiritual disciplines. Every time I do it, it helps me refocus and stop trying harder and come to that place of humbling myself before God and seeking his truth, his purpose, his understanding. The first ones are the inward. The next three will be the outward. Those are simplicity, solitude, and service. We're not hitting all of the disciplines. We're hitting some. And then the next are the communal disciplines, what we do together. Confession, worship, and celebration. So that's where we're going over the next 10 weeks. And guys, I want to tell you that this is a journey worth taking. Next week, I'm going to be handing out with the first one, as we go through meditation next week, I'm going to be handing out journals to everybody. And those journals will go along, and it's just for you personally to be going through what we're talking about here, for you guys to be keeping a record, for writing things down and to be praying through. And as God speaks to you, man, write those things down as you're coming in your prayer time. You know, one of the things that I got to be honest with you, I don't do it very often. But when I do prayer journals, something significant happens in my life. When I keep a journal, a regular journal, and my journal time includes my prayer time, you know what happens is I'll go through, and as I'm struggling, one of the things I'll do is I'll go back and I'll read from the days before or weeks before. And then it reminds me, my goodness, I was praying about these things, and God has, I didn't even realize, God's answered these things. And one of the things that always sticks out to me about prayer journals is when Julie, in her prayer journal, when we are going through some things, and there's been different times where she's written in her prayer journal, and she's praying, and she's writing in her prayer journal, and I'm hearing from God. She's praying, and I'm hearing not from her, but from God. And I come to her, I've come to her in the past and said, honey, I feel like God is saying this to me. And she's like, can I show you something? And she goes back, she's gone back in her prayer journal and shown me. And the times that she's done that, it really hit me. What a blessing. Here she was praying that I would mature and grow in these areas, that I would hear from God. And when I got dead, it was just another reminder of how God was faithful. How God was faithful to meeting her prayers and speaking to me and causing real blessing to take place. So as we get started, let's turn to Psalm 42, starting in verse 1 and 2. Today is really an introduction to what the spiritual disciplines are and the need for them and what they're not. As the deer pants for the streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? Guys, to grow in spiritual disciplines, there needs to be a longing for God, not self-discipline. What's at the heart of the spiritual disciplines is a longing, as the deer pants for the water. Have you ever been really thirsty? Have you ever had just one of those times? I tell you, there was a time not too long ago, I was mowing the lawn, and I got all the stuff that had come up from the lawn, and it was hard to breathe well. So not only I was needing the drink of water. I was needing the cool and refreshing water. And man, that think of what it's like when you're really, really thirsty. and you haven't been able to get to water for a while, what do you tend to do when you get the water? Right? Make yourself a little silly. It's kind of spilling down the chin. There's a pleasure. There's a blast of refreshment. As the deer pants for the water, so my soul pants for you, my God. As our hearts need to yearn for God, for his truth to speak into us. What are your spiritual longings? As we get started on this journey together, I want to ask that. What are your spiritual, what are some areas that you guys really say, you know what? I want to grow in this. Meditation, prayer, fasting, simplicity, solitude, service, confession, worship, celebration. Which of these areas, as I say those, are you like, I need to grow in that area? Which area stands out? We all do need to grow in all of them, don't we? Is there one that's standing out that, whew, man, prayer. Maybe it's fasting. Fasting isn't something that's practiced often today, but what a blessing it is. And when we hit fasting, one of the things we're going to talk about is not only fasting from food, but fasting from electronics. Fasting from constant bombardment of being in something, hearing something, listening to something, being still, being quiet. Guys, our goal is to know God, to know him more, to be more in tune with what he's saying, to be like the sheep who know the voice of their shepherd, and to have the joy of hearing and listening and following. Guys, discouragement and depression lead to isolation, and often in today's world, we can get lost and isolated because we're hearing all the different voices except God's. We're hearing from all these different false truths. And then sin comes in, and there's depression, there's discouragement, there's embarrassment, there's shame and guilt. And we tend to, as those things come in, we tend to retreat more and more. And we move away from that intimacy with God because how can I approach a God who's holy when I'm struggling like this? And just a thought that comes to mind here is from the Lord is there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. As if you are a child of God, if you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There is no need for us to live in retreat because of our sin, but in brokenness and humility, we can come before God and lay at the feet of the cross all the junk that we have. And we've got plenty, guys, don't we? I mean, let's be honest. We've got plenty of junk, all of us. That we need to be real with God, and we can put on the happy face for each other. I want to encourage you, if your heart is sad, you don't always have to have the happy face on the outside to be a believer. There are seasons for different emotions. And part of that intimacy with God is being real with God and being real with each other and finding people that you know and trust and can share real life with and be in it together. We don't have to be in that isolation. Psalms 42, starting verse 3, my tears have been my food day and night. While people say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. Guys, when we are in that place of retreat, when we are in that place of discouragement, when we're hearing the voices and the shouts of others around us, sometimes the mocking for our faith. When we've lived out in public what is not true of who we are in Christ, and it's brought a bad stench. Or when the public has come at us and brought the attack for our faith. Hey guys, I promise you one thing. That's going to be happening more and more. I promise you, as time goes on, we are seeing as we get further and further away from the truth of the Word of God, as that becomes less and less of a part of our society. What's the reality? We need to go into community with the gospel now. People who aren't Christians don't socially come to church anymore. So we have to go out and meet them and be involved with them. But here it says, my tears have been my food day and night. Man, have you been there? Where you've been chewing on your tears? Where you've been broken? And here the psalm started that we're to thirst after God. And sometimes in that thirst and in that intimacy, guess what? We can be real with God. We can share what's going on. We can share the burden. We can share the pain. My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul. What's he saying? Be real. Be honest with God. Don't keep it in. Don't say spiritual Christian platitudes to God. Don't speak Christianese to God. When you're feeling like dirt, oh, thank you, God, you're wonderful, and thank you for being my God and Savior, and what am I supposed to say? That's not intimacy. That's not intimacy. What does Jesus say as he's getting ready for the cross? He quotes Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus, if he can be real with God, guess what? We can too. He was without sin. He was describing the pain that he was going through. He was relating to God intimately and personally. We need to be real in those times of darkness. We can have God's vision in our life. We can have our eyes on God. We can have our hearts on him. We can be knowing that he is with us. So guys, what is it that causes a need more and more for spiritual disciplines in our lives? And I would say this, habits, the bondage of sin. The bondage of sin, that there are, as you come to Christ, as all of us well know, as we come to faith in Jesus Christ, all those habits still have to be dealt with. All those things that we've been doing for years, I played basketball for years and years and years and years and years. And I went to a camp and I learned a new move. It was the Jack Sigma move. It was an opposite pivot. Changed my game of basketball. Since then, I've taught so many people, but normally you pivot towards the basket to the hoop and you're ready like here. Jack Sigma, you get the pass and you pivot away. It's hard to do if you don't practice it in a game situation. You will travel if you try and play the game without practicing the opposite pivot. And so you get the ball and you pivot towards the hoop. That's what nature says. That's what you've learned all those years. And when you get it, instead pivoting away, creating that space, now you can shoot. He comes up on you, you can drive. It changes the game. For those of you who aren't basketball fans, I apologize. One day the Sonics will return. Please, Lord. Habits are hard, aren't they, to relearn new things. And in Christ, dying to self, does that come easy? Am I the only one who struggles with dying to self? Oh, my goodness. Something comes up. It's amazing. You can be in a wonderful place with God. And things are going well and you've been intimate. You've been growing. And then somebody says something stupid. And it's like it launches in this self-righteous governing attitude that, what? And instantly, I'm worshiping self. And instantly, I have to be right more than I have to be loving. Old habits die hard. Old ways of doing things don't go easy. And guess what? As soon as you think you got a handle on it, the enemy is going to come from a new angle on it. And as soon as you get one relationship that you've been working on, kind of where you think you understand it and you're going well, like in marriage, then she changes and you change. And now you have to figure everything out all over again. It's difficult. The bondage of old habits, the bondage of old ways. Isaiah 57, we see it says in Isaiah 57:20, but the wicked are like the tossing sea which cannot rest, whose waves cast up mire and mud. Guys, the reality is the natural motion of the sea, the natural realities of life bring up the junk, bring up the mire, bring up the mud. We don't have to go looking for it. It comes. When Adam and Eve sinned, it didn't just affect people. It affected everything. And there is sin that it's coming from all different directions. And the muck and the mire of life are turning with the natural waves, with the natural seas and trends of life. The sea brings up the junk. And in our sin condition, the natural motions of life produce this junk. But we don't have to be lost in the junk. We don't have to give in to all that's coming from around us. And one of the ways that God has given us is these disciplines that allow us to hear from Him. I want to encourage you over the next 10 weeks, Spend some time just being quiet before God. Just listening, just hearing. We're going to be handing out next week the journals. But all 10 weeks, I want to encourage you, spend some time being still before God. In those journals, starting next week, start writing things down. Start writing down what you're hearing from God, what He's asking of you. What you're hearing about Him and who He is. Colossians 2, 20 through 23 says this, since you died with Christ to the elemental spiritual forces of this world, why, as though you still belong to the world, do you submit to its rules? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. This is what we make of religion, isn't it? Don't. Religion is all about what you should not do. Faith is all about who you are in Christ and what He's done. Religion, don't do this. Don't do that. Don't think those thoughts. Don't do those actions. Don't drink. Don't talk. Don't swear. Right? What was the thing growing up? Yeah, don't drink, don't swear, don't dance with, no. Don't drink, don't smoke, don't swear, don't dance with, yeah, don't drink, don't swear, don't chew, don't dance with girls who do. That's what it was. I knew it was in there somewhere. Right? We come up with the rules. God gave the Ten Commandments. What does man do? We come up with a few thousand more. I mean, there's a number of churches where Jesus wouldn't be allowed in. We can't be more religious, more holy, more perfect than Jesus. We also don't have to be controlled by sin. On the flip side, we don't have to live in that guilt and shame and brokenness and just trying to make it through the day. Yeah. There's more. Verse 22, these rules which have to do with things that are all destined to perish with use are based on mere human commands and teaching. Such regulations indeed have the appearance of what? Wisdom. Don't has the appearance of wisdom. With their self-imposed And here's the big word, guys, worship. Worship. Guys, when we go to the altar of self-will, try harder, we are worshiping ourselves. Have you ever wondered why when you try harder, you fail more in your spiritual walk? Is it's because you're worshiping, I'm worshiping at a false god of self-effort. And any false god will let us down. And so the harder we try to be holy, to be good, to be moral, to not sin, the more failure we will experience as we come to the altar of self-will. It goes on to say, their false humility. Let me start in 23. Such regulations indeed have the appearance of wisdom with their self-imposed worship, their false humility and their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. Guys, have you ever seen, there's some cultures as a way to show that they're sorry for what they've done, they show their gods that their pain by beating themselves. And so sometimes they'll beat themselves with sticks. Sometimes they'll crawl for miles and miles on their hands and knees on stones and rock and sharp glass. They'll do this, they'll do that, all these different things to impose self-will. We see that we try and control sin. There's only one who can control sin. There's only one who has victory over sin. And so we don't deal with sin in our lives by trying harder. We deal with the sin in our lives by being broken before a holy God, by realizing I am not holy, God is. Jesus Christ has died for my sins, he's conquered death, and he's provided a way for me to be intimate with him and to know him and to be healed and to be transformed from the inside out. Guys, this is the good news. It's the good news. He's done what we can't do. You see, to fully grasp, one of the things we talked about with in the men's Bible study is to fully grasp the good news, you have to understand the bad news. If you're not aware of your sin, of your brokenness before God, it's impossible to step forward into his goodness, into what he's done, into the salvation of the gospel. Because, man, we've got a world that's telling us, you're okay. You're basically good. But guys, what do we know about sin? It's not just, guys, is sin something we do? Yes, that's part of it. But we are born into it. Let me ask you this. If the Word of God protects us so often from ourselves. If the Word of God said, you know what? Matthew 50:50, if it said, Matthew, that's my book, that's my Bible. If it said in Matthew 50:50, children are not responsible for themselves until 12. But at 12 years old, you know, we have the becoming a man, becoming a woman. We have the celebrations of those things at 12. At 12 years old, they are responsible for that salvation. You know what we would do as human beings? We would kill children if we thought they had a chance not to go to eternity with God. Think of the depravity of man. Think of what we're capable of. And in the name of God, we'll do these horrible atrocities. We've done awful things in the name of God too many times. Because we've acted in religion rather than in faith in Jesus Christ. Self-imposed worship. As soon as we think we can be victorious over sin by trying harder, it's when we're worshiping our will, our effort, and what I can achieve in my faith. And every time we go there, We're going to hit a wall, and we're going to hit a wall quick. The answer is not will worship. Guys, hear that. The answer is not will worship. God deals with the heart. In ending, verse 5, why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, the mountain Mizar. Deep calls to deep. In the roar of your waterfalls, all your waves are and breakers have swept over me. By day, the Lord directs his love. At night, his song is with me, a prayer to God, a prayer to the God of my life. I love that. Deep calls to deep. Only God can go deeper. Guys, hear that. Only God can go deeper. Only God can go and deal with the things on the inside. We deal with the Band-Aids on the outside. If you've got an infection and a cut, you can put the Band-Aid over the cut. That doesn't help the infection. If you just leave the Band-Aid over the infected cut, it gets more and more infected. So you put another Band-Aid on because the wound gets bigger and worse. And the wound gets bigger and worse. You put more Band-Aids, it's not going to... Only God can deal with it from the inside out. Spiritual disciplines are not a guarantee for spiritual growth. Know that as we go into these 10 weeks. Spiritual disciplines in and of themselves are not a guarantee for spiritual growth. Instead, they open the opportunity for growth by creating a space, and a large space for God to allow and to bring something good in. So it creates an opportunity for God to move. It creates a humility to where we're able to receive what God is doing. That's what spiritual disciplines do. And so I'm excited. Galatians 6:8 says, whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. If we go on our own strength, we're going to fail. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, God himself, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. And with eternal life comes what? Transformation, death to life. Not only that, ongoing salvation. There's the justification coming to Christ once and for all, eternally his. And then there's the sanctification salvation, growing deeper in our walks. Guess what? Both are from God. Both require us to respond to what he's doing. Both are not accomplished by us separate from him. The spiritual disciplines put us in the place where he works and brings transformation. And to end, Galatians 5, 22 and 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, I love this, there is no law. It's not the law that saves. Guys, it's not the law that saves. It's God himself. The Spirit, God himself in us. And then, when we do the spiritual disciplines by our efforts, guess what? We're going to be exhausted because we're worshiping at self-will. When we go to God and allow him to move through us, oh my goodness. Guess what happens? Not only am I full of life, am I energized, am I joy, but joy, peace, love, forbearance, kindness, goodness, the fruit of the Spirit starts becoming more and more a part of my life. Not because I'm achieving it, but because God's bringing it in. Because I'm dying to self. Because I'm not worshiping my effort. And I'm being broken before God. Guys, that's the place where God meets us. When we say this, if hear this. When I say to God, God, I can't do it. He says, now we're ready. Now we're ready. Now we're ready for some transformation. Now we're ready for the blessing to come in. Let's be ready. Guys, over these next, let's get our hearts and minds and souls ready. Let's be ready for what God is doing. I know he wants us to work in this community. I know he, man, if we are spiritually alive, if we are being motivated by Christ, he's going to do mighty works through us. And we're going to be in awe as we experience the fruit of the Spirit in our own lives, even if the world around us is falling apart, not dependent on what's going around us. Our emotions don't have to be based on the circumstances we're in. We can have the fruit of the Spirit even when we're going through the storm. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, bless us. Lord, thank you that you have. Lord, I pray that you would speak to us more and more, that we would die to ourselves each day. Lord, that we would take up our cross, that we would hear from you, Lord. I pray that we would be still before you. Lord, I pray for these 10 weeks. Prepare us for what you have for us. Lord, I pray that each person here and those who are still coming, Lord, those who will come in the weeks ahead, Lord, that we would hear from you. Lord, I also pray for all those who are hearing online, Lord, that would go on this journey with us to hear from you, Lord. Father, we ask that you would move mightily. And Father, we pray that this fruit of the Spirit, this love, joy, peace would be experienced. And Lord, that we would grow and not worship at the altar of self-effort anymore. Break us, God. Do what you need to do in our lives to break us, to humble us, so we hear from you. For your glory, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, guys.